The ushers are going to walk down the aisle with Bibles in hand and pencils to make sure you have one. Just raise your hand, and they'll pass the Bible over to you, or a pencil to keep notes with. You can do that on your bulletin. But in particular, if you need a Bible, and you will need one because we study the Bible around here. And all of us turn to Luke 19. And by the way, if you need to keep that Bible, it's all yours. There's no charge for it or anything like that, of course. Luke chapter 19. What an exciting week we have coming up. It's going to be good stuff. Come on, jump on board. Jump on board. Let's just get blessed and be a blessing this week. Okay, I guess all the Bibles are passed out from what I can tell. I wanted to wait till all the Bibles were passed out so that there wasn't anybody in your way. But I'm going to draw your attention out of the screen before I share, before we study God's Word together. There is a little video, just a short one that I want you to watch. It's going to kind of help set the table. It's going to help set the table for what we're about to dig into God's Word about. So if we turn off the lights and direct your attention to the screens, let's just watch this. Pretty good, huh?
Something different about him. He called down to the man in the hole and asked him if he wanted to be free. This man lowered himself into the earth, into the pit. He took hold of the man.
God threw down a rope. God threw down a rope to a needy world, to a people stuck, lost. And God threw down a rope. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the throwing down of that rope and the revealing of that rope. Luke 19, verse 41. Luke 19, verse 41. The he here is Jesus. And it says, now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you in on every side and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. Why this reaction by Jesus? What's going on here that provokes such a strong reaction, a strong word from him? In this section of Scripture, Jesus is in the midst of the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. As we'll see in a moment, there was much rejoicing going on. But in the midst of the rejoicing, we hear these words. Look at verse 41. Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it. Why? Verse 42, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Today, on this Palm Sunday, this day in which we remember the events we'll be looking at here, as we read about the Lord declaring to a people who should have known, but were missing it, as he declares to them, if you only knew, even you, what I had for you, especially in this your day. As we think about that, I wonder if the Lord might not want to say that to someone here this morning. If you only knew, if you only understood, I've called our time together in this your day. Let's pray. Father, thank you. What an awesome love you have for us. A love that we can really only barely begin to take in. And yet a love that's touched everyone who receives it, Lord, and changes everything, changes our destiny and all. But Lord, some have yet to receive. And some, Lord, have only kind of dabbled really at it, not realizing all you have. Lord, in this time, we lift our needs to you. We lift our lives to you. You know what we come in here with. Now, we pray for the one that's feeling hopeless, just wondering why he or she's even here. Show them, Lord. Show them there's a great and living hope. For the one discouraged, Lord, let there be encouragement. For the one who's maybe complacent, let there be challenge, Lord. Let there be conviction. Whatever it is, Lord, when it's from you, it's the best and it's what we need. So, Lord, help us. Speak now by your Spirit, through your word. And don't let us leave here the same as we came in, Lord. If we need changing, if you see change that needs to take place, then, Lord, do it. We ask this, and we thank you for it, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go back to verse 28 for a moment. I want to read the context here. So we'll read a number of verses, and then we're going to hopefully gather some points for our hearts this morning out of it. But go to Luke 19, verse 28, as we set the stage. When he had said this, again, he here is Jesus, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he drew near to Bethage and Bethany, at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went their way and found it just as he had said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to him, why are you loosing the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of him. Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then, as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. So that's the context. It's that portion of Scripture where the events are going on that we refer to as the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. We call it Palm Sunday today. We call it Palm Sunday because this event is recorded in all four Gospels. And in John's Gospel, he adds this. He says, "The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, and cried out, 'Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel.'" And so John helps us understand that as part of the praising of Jesus as he makes his way into Jerusalem on this Sunday before the crucifixion, that they took palm trees, palm branches, and they're waving them and they're laying them in the road and putting their clothes out there, their jackets and all out in front, and paving the way for the Messiah. So it's come to be called Palm Sunday. It's that day when he reveals himself to the nation, that day when he makes his entry into Jerusalem. And what we see, of course, is there was a tremendous excitement on the part of the people. They're rejoicing, not just the 12 apostles, but the disciples, many of them. They're rejoicing. Jesus is making his public entry into Jerusalem. And he comes in riding on a donkey. Now, that in itself, of course, is a fulfillment of prophecy. Zechariah, some 500 years before this, showing that God's in charge of it all, prophesied the coming of the Messiah. And as he was talking about it, he said this, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So Zechariah, those hundreds of years earlier, prophesied that when the Messiah came in, one way they'd be able to recognize him was he'd come in just. This is God's view of it, just. He has salvation, yet lowly, riding on a donkey. So here he comes, just as was prophesied, riding on this donkey. Now notice in verse 38, another scripture is pointed out. It says, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." So that's what the people are declaring. Well, what they're singing is from Psalm 118, verse 26. Now, Psalm 118 was accepted by the Jews as a messianic psalm, meaning the things spoken about in there were understood to apply to the coming Messiah. So again, another prophecy, another point of Scripture that was telling them, warning them, declaring to them some things about the Messiah when he would show up on the scene. And that statement there, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord," is from a section of Scripture. I'd like to read it for you from Psalm 118. It says, "The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." It goes on to say, "Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity." And then here's what they were declaring, part of it. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord." So it was understood to be a messianic psalm, and they're singing it, they're declaring it about Jesus as he makes his entrance, as he reveals himself to them on this day. Now look, I'll go back to the earlier part of this, in verse 24 of Psalm 118. It says, "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." You wake up in the morning, and it's just a bright, beautiful day. Like, boy, yesterday, wasn't yesterday beautiful? I haven't been outside that much today, but beautiful day yesterday. Well, you wake up on a day like that, and you see the sun, and everything's going pretty good. And you might say, oh, blessed be the Lord, you know, that you might declare, "This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." Well, that's okay to do that. That's fine, because God makes every day, and we should rejoice in every day, and that's fine. But the context of the verse was speaking about a specific day. Now, you can say that about every day, basically, but in its context, it's part of a messianic psalm talking about a day that when it was spoken was yet to come. But now for us, that has already come. It's the day that's being talked about right here, the day when the Messiah would show up and reveal himself. So it's one special day in all of history when God would fulfill His promise of a Savior. A specific day when God revealed that He would reveal the rope. See, in the birth, in the coming of Jesus, God came down into the hole, into this world. But on this particular day, Palm Sunday, up till now, Jesus had resisted a lot of efforts to make Him king and declare Him king and all. But on this day, in fulfillment of Scripture, He's openly let it be declared about Him that He is the rope. He is the one. And the analogy, you know, don't get lost in the analogy. The idea is He's the one sent to save. And on this day, it's being revealed. And so that was a specific day. And God had told them about it. Zechariah, through the psalm. It's a day that in Daniel, remember in Daniel chapter 9. Now, I'm not going to go through the math right now. Those of you who watched me do that probably are going, phew. Although it's such a blessing, I encourage you, get that tape or get a good study on Daniel 9. But I'll just say this. Daniel, of course, was prophesying about 600 years before the events we're reading this morning. And Daniel in there declares, or God through Daniel, that the Messiah would come at a specific time. And if you do the math of what it says in there in Daniel 9, it declared that the Messiah would come 173,880 days after the decree went forth to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. Well, we know when that date was because you can look in any history book. And so that started the clock going. And if you count down 173,880 days, you come down to this day. What does verse 24 say? This is the day the Lord has made. He made that day. He prophesied about that day. He declared certain things were going to happen on that day. And He said, therefore, the people who know that, they're going to rejoice and be glad in it. So it's a specific day, and that day had now come. The time had come. The Messiah is being revealed. He's making His way. The rope is making His way into town on that day. So what we see is that God announced this ahead of time, big time. He announced it, be it through the Psalms or Zechariah, Daniel. There's no shortage of not just once, twice, but he these number of times told them what this day would hold, the specific day. Do you ever talk to your Bible? I encourage you to do that. Not talk to your Bible full of doubt and attacking or something, but talk to your Bible like, God, I want to understand this text. I know there's something here for me. And you begin to read it and pray on it and just kind of chew on it, you know? You know what? If you'll talk to your Bible, it'll talk to you. And it'll show you things. God will reveal things about Himself to you. Well, I was doing that as we approached this morning, and through the week I was looking at this and thinking about this day that God had prophesied in so many ways. This day when Jesus makes His triumphant entry, and there's so many different reactions, people praising, the Pharisees complaining, all these things going on. And I just got to wondering, God, why this day? It seemed like a simple question. It wasn't great, you know, some theological big thing. Just, God, why that day? Why all the prophecy about it? And why all the focus on it to make sure that if possible they wouldn't miss it? What? Why? Why did You point so much to this day? Well, there's probably a lot of reasons. But one of them, and the one that's on my heart this morning really, is found in verse 41 and following. You remember we read it at the very beginning of our time. Let's look at it again. Now as they drew near, He saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. Verse 42, if you had known, if I could paraphrase that, if you just knew what I had for you. He says, even you, especially in this your day. He's speaking to them and he's saying, this was your day. This is your time. God visiting you. He's entering into town. But they were blind. They were spiritually blind, blinded by their pride, blinded by their prejudice, blinded by their preconceived notions of how they thought God should be or would be or how God should act. If they were God, he'd act this way. And all those things that even today people come up with. And they had they're blinded to what he's really saying and what he's really like. And that's the case. He said, oh, if you only knew. If you only knew how much this day was designed for you and what's in this day, what's in him. He says, but you're blinded. You're not able to see it. You don't understand that this is your time of visitation. So while the crowd is rejoicing, as Jesus comes up over the hill, over the Mount of Olives, and if you've been there, you know the scene. You come up to the Mount of Olives there, and you begin to go over the top, and all of a sudden there's Jerusalem in front of you. Just a great, great view across the Valley of Kidron, and up into there's the old walls of the Temple Mount and everything, and everything's right there. It's just such a great view. You've probably seen pictures at least of it. And people are rejoicing, but what's Jesus doing? Weeping. And not just kind of a little bit of a tear running down his cheek. The word wept there, Strong's tells us, means to sob. See, there's another Hebrew word for kind of just a little bit of tears, but this is a strong word here. It means to sob, to wail aloud. And so it suggests that he's crying in agony. He's sobbing. He sees the city, and he knows, of course, that they're going to reject him. He knows what the week holds. He knows all about this. He knows what the future holds. But because of his compassion, he doesn't gloat, but he grieves. He grieves. Oh, if you just knew. If you understood what your blindness is doing to you, and if you understood what I had for you, you'd grab on. But oh, you won't. And so this is what's going to happen to you. If you only knew. True for them and true for us today. If people only knew, if they could only get a glimpse of what God has for them, they'd run to him. The world says, show me and then I'll believe. And the Lord says, nuh-uh, believe and I'll show you. It's faith he's looking for. I thought I knew what God was like till I was so full of me. And I thought I knew all that stuff, you know. But then God did bust through. And I thought I was alive. Then I discovered I was dead once he made me alive. And once he takes you out of the dark into the light, you realize that that wasn't light you're in. And God does that for us. And that's what he wants. Well, if you only know what I had for you. But we reason it away and we think we know better and we miss out. If people could just get a glimpse of what God, you know, people avoid God and they think that they're better for it. Whew. Oh man, you know, I went to church, but I didn't make any decisions. I got out of there okay. As if they gain. Remember what we were all like before we came to the Lord? Some of us came kicking and screaming and, you know, what did we think God was going to do? A lobotomy on us or something? I mean, you talk to anybody who finally comes to the Lord, what do they say? Why did I wait so long? What did I think he was going to do to me? As he enters your life and gives you purpose and peace and eternal life, forgiveness, all those things he's about. Well, because they won't receive of him, he declares the destruction that's going to come to them. And it does happen, of course. Titus, the Roman army, comes in within about 40 years and does just what Jesus says here. They destroy the city. The temple is pulled down. Not one block is left upon another. Over 1 million people will be killed in the destruction of Jerusalem. It's just a very, very sad picture. Oh, how their pride and their resistance cost them so much. God visited them. God incarnate came, was born, grew up, walked amongst them, made his appearance, revealed himself, went to the cross and rose again. But except for a few, so many didn't receive. God kept his promise. Just as he said what happened, it did. He sent the Messiah right on time, of course. But because they didn't know it was their day of visitation, because they were blinded to it, they paid a heavy, bitter price. God expected them to know. God had given them sufficient prophecies. They should have known. There is no excuse for this other than their blindness, their spiritual blindness, their ignorance. Even as there's no excuse for you if you reject the Messiah, the Lord, Jesus. And even as desolation came upon them because of their rejection, so desolation will come upon everyone who does not receive Jesus as Messiah, as Savior. It's not what he wants. He desires that all would be saved, that none would perish. He declares, he showed them and he shows us, the rope has been thrown out. But he won't make you spend eternity with him if you don't want to. He will make you receive that which is going to give you life if you don't want it. Purpose, meaning, all those things. A man fell in a hole was the video. And that is the condition of this world, whether it realizes it or not. And everybody in this world, of course. And so I just speak to those of you who have yet to decide what you're going to do about Jesus. We do welcome you here. And the Lord says, come, let us reason together. And I pray you came with an open heart. And whatever brought you here today, God's trying to show you something. Not that you need to go to church and be good. You notice what like in the video, the Lord came to the man and he said, do you want to get out? Do you realize you're in a hole and you want out? Do you want to be saved? And that's what the Lord says to us. The Lord doesn't come to us in our sin and say, well, are you smart enough to get out? Are you cute enough? I'm not sure. I only rescue cute people. He doesn't say, well, you know, just be good and hopefully your good will outweigh the bad and that'll get you out of the hole. A lot of people think that's how you go to heaven. But think of that. How will being good get you out of the hole? It's not going to work that way. That's not what it's about. If something's not done from outside of us, we're stuck. We're lost. And so God threw down a rope. He threw down, he sent his son. God the Son came. And on this particular day, Palm Sunday, was the day of the revealing that he is the rope to the people. The declaration that there's now a way. He's the Messiah. He's the answer. But how sad when we have to read, oh, if you only knew. If you only understood what I had for you. Even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace. But they missed it. And so the rope went, they didn't grab on. What will you do with it today? For those of you who are considering the claims of Christ, there was a day for them, a day of their visitation. Today is your day of visitation. 2 Corinthians 6:2, for he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. If you've not received of Jesus, and again, I'm not saying join the church, give money, none of that stuff. I'm saying receive. You see, there has to be a time that you can point to, specifically and personally, where you realize, I'm a sinner. God, forgive me. Rescue me. Come into my heart. And he does. And just as there was a day for them, there's a day for you. And it's called today. Don't put off till tomorrow. You don't know if you have tomorrow. Oh, great. Trying to scare me into heaven. Hey, if that's what it takes, I'll do it. Because it's a reality. We don't know. Our days are numbered. And each of us need, and that's why today is the day of salvation. Don't be like they said, but your eyes were blinded, he says. And so they didn't know the time of their visitation. He's visiting you today. Today is your day, your time of visitation. But what will you do about it? They rejected and they were lost. God threw out a rope and so many missed it. What are you going to do? What will you do about it? Now, having said that, I want to speak to those of you who have received Jesus as Savior. And you sit here simply by mercy and grace saved. I want you to think about what's being said here. For it says in verse 42, Jesus says, if you had known. Now that statement, if you had known, doesn't that suggest that there were blessings and things that God had for them that they didn't realize. That's basically what that idea means, right? If you only knew what I had for you. Believer, would God want to say that to you today? Oh, you know Him as Savior, but please hear me. Too many Christians know Him as Savior, but when it comes to daily life, they're missing out on so much. You know, we go off into our day in our wisdom and in our strength and with our agenda, and we go through the day just muddling through and struggling or whatever, and get the end of our day, and we kind of wonder, what was that about, or, well, I survived it or whatever. But I wonder if at the end of our day, as we put the head on the pillow, if the Lord would want to say to you, believer, oh, if you only knew what I had for you today. If you'd only known what I had. Oh, He loves you and He forgives you, but I wonder if He would weep for us when He realizes, when He sees what we are settling for compared to what He has. So, believer, there's an application here for us, an important one. He had so much for them and He has no less for us. Romans 8, 32. He who did not spare His Son but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Too many Christians feel like salvation comes in, they receive Christ, and that's like the end. And then they kind of go on hold and they muddle through their days, and someday God will take them home and they'll be home and in heaven. And as if salvation was the end of the process. That was the beginning. Salvation just brings you back into right relationship. In that relationship, you're to begin to experience His leading, His sufficiency, the peace, the joy. If you only knew, He said, the things that make for your peace. But too many Christians don't really have peace because they're not living strongly in all they have. If He gave His Son while we were separated from Him, how much more will He give to us now that we're His, is the idea. As Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. And too many Christians live in the first part of that last verse. They have life. I've come that they may have life. But that abundant life part is not a happening thing. And that means spiritually abundant. Experiencing that, those fruits of the Spirit daily. And Jesus said, how do you get those? Abiding in Him daily. You abide in Him, meaning you dwell in Him. You look to Him. And then we experience the peace, the hope, the joy, the love and all that He has for us. Life more abundantly. Oh, if you only knew what I had for you, Jesus would say. And not only that, we're talking about each day and how we should live each day and what the day has for us. Well, there's another thing to remember about our days. Believer, God told them to look for a certain day when the Messiah would be revealed. When He would openly be being declared that, hey, the rope has been set out. There was a certain day when the Messiah would come that first time and would be revealed to them. We too are to be living each day looking for a certain day. Not for the first coming of the Messiah, but for that catching up. See, there's a day when we're going to be caught up, believers. And then this world's going to enter the tribulation period. You don't want to be here. But the point is, this age is going to wrap up. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 4. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. So there is still yet a day that we're to be mindful of, a day we're to be looking for, a day when we get caught up out of here and God wraps up this whole thing. So, for those of you who are yet considering the claims of Christ, today is the day of salvation. He can't say it much more clearly, but He has thrown out the rope. And on Palm Sunday, He revealed who that is. All the prophecies came together. It's none other than Jesus. Don't miss it. Don't let it be said of you that you missed it. Believer, how about you? Today is the day to walk and seek and walk closely with the Lord. And one of these days, believer, we're out of here. No, we don't know that day and the hour. That day and that hour is in God's keeping. But we're to live with our spiritual eyes looking up and our spiritual ears tuned in, listening for a trumpet. For when the blast occurs, boom, we're out of here. But you got to be ready. You got to be ready. Meanwhile, remember this, believer. Being confident of this very thing, Paul writes, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. A day of salvation. Every day looking up, dwelling in Him, experiencing Him. Praying every day, give us this day our daily bread. Living with that awareness that it's day by day. And then looking for that day when we're going to be caught up. And in the meanwhile, He's begun a work. He began a work when you accepted Christ. And every day is part of that work as He molds us and shapes us into the image of Jesus Christ. Don't miss out. Don't miss out. The rope has been thrown out. As we get ready to wrap it up, you're going to find some prayer partners on the other side of the props here. They are there to pray with you. If you've never received Christ as Savior, make your way over there and let them know, I want to grab on. If you know Him, but it would be said of you, oh, if you only knew what I had for you. You're selling for so much less. Then maybe today is a day of getting prayer and saying, Lord, I want it all. I want it all. Get anything out of the way that's blocking it. The rope is thrown out. Tim, you can bring your team up at this time. The rest of you, look at verse 39 again. Look at Luke 19, verse 39 one more time. As the worship team comes up, just consider verse 39. And some of the Pharisees called to Jesus from the crowd, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. What does Jesus say? He says, no way. Verse 40. But He answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. See, as the psalmist declared back in Psalm 118:24, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Jesus is saying, this is the day of the revealing of the Messiah. This is the day when the rope is plainly declared as who He is, that He grabs on each one who just cries out. And the verse, the prophecy, the messianic psalm, it said, we will rejoice and be glad in it. And if I may paraphrase the Lord here, what's He basically say when they say, tell them to be quiet? He says, hey, somebody's going to praise on this day. Somebody's going to be praising because that's what God said would happen. God made this day and He deserves praise. And so Jesus says that. And He says, if the people don't, then the rocks will. But there will be praise because He is worthy of it. Because of who it is that was riding into town. So the people rejoiced that day. What about today? See, because of all that all of this means to us, we too are called to rejoice. We have so much. When you think about this whole week and what we're celebrating all week long, we have so much to rejoice over. Every day we have a reason to rejoice. But see, that's the challenge. Will we praise Him? Or are we going to leave it to the rocks? Let's pray. Father, Lord, it is so true. Your love is so awesome. And all that we're remembering in this whole week, Lord, has changed everything. And You are worthy of praise. Lord, I pray that when You look upon us, You'd find us amongst those who indeed praise You. Every day. Lord, for the ones that are here but have not yet truly received, help them right now not just try to dodge the bullet. Help them try not to explain, defend. Help, Lord, that one who's right now just putting it off. They're saying, well, another day. I'll worry about this next week. Lord, show them today is the day of salvation. Lord, draw by Your love. Each one. And those of us who by Your mercy and grace You've touched our lives, Lord, we sit here saved only because of what You've done. Lord, don't let it be said of us, oh, if they'd only had known. If they'd only had known what I had for them. Lord, we don't want You to have to say that about us. Help us every day to go deeper, just to discover more and more all that you are and all we have in you. And Lord, through all this, as we head out every day, Lord, we don't want to leave it to the rocks. May you find us praising you. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.